Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Tuesday morning. Talking some Titans, and to help us do a little bit more of that, we bring in our good friend Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and host of Jared and the GM in the Afternoon. Floyd, what's going on, my man?
Not much. How are you guys this morning?
We are doing great. And Floyd, we've got a ton of Titans stuff to get to, but before we do that, we had your boy Stillman on last week. And we were talking.
How'd that go?
It went about how you thought it would.
It was enlightening.
And we were talking to him about this cameo thing that he's doing where he's basically charging people money for him to make personalized videos and send it out like he's some sort of celebrity. Number one, Floyd, have you heard about this? And number two, what's your reaction to it if you have?
He came in and asked me, he goes, hey, do you want to be on Cameo? I said, what the heck's that? So he explained it to me and I said, no. He said, well, I am. And he said, so what do they do? He goes, well, they pay like $15 or whatever it is, and I say happy birthday. I said, who the hell would want you to say happy birthday for him? $15. Who would do that? So I don't know. You know, he's off and running. I'm going to tell you what now. He never misses a chance to get him out there. You know, get his face out there, get his name out there. He is really, really self-serving. But you know what? He loves it. And he makes no bones about it. He admits it and just goes on. So more power to him.
Well, Floyd, we did have a caller who made a good point. He's like I'm going to pay for this and like send it to my buddies as like a prank. Like, hey, here's your birthday gift as a Stillman. You know, kind of genius, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Stillman might be getting rich, and we're all laughing at him. So, hey,
yeah,
more power to him.
Yeah, he'll be driving a Maserati, and we'll be in the poor man's line. So who knows?
So, Floyd, obviously, we're a couple days into camp now. We were talking in the last segment. There are reports out there that it was a tough day yesterday for the backup quarterbacks, Logan Woodside and Cole McDonald. And we knew this could be an issue heading into this season. How concerned should the Titans be about their backup quarterback situation at this point?
You know, I don't think they're any more concerned now than they have been all year long. And what level of concern is that? I'm not sure. You know, I think what you always have to do is you have to ask yourself, who was out there that would have made us better? I think they have, for whatever reason, you know, they see him every single day, but I think they have confidence in Woodside. Now, you know, does that mean they're willing to put a season on his back? No, they're not. But would you be willing to do that with really any backup quarterback? No, you wouldn't. So it's kind of a... it's a catch-22, and if you look throughout the league, the fundamentals are basically the same. If you have Tua as your starting quarterback, your backup quarterback's going to be a 15-16-year vet. If you've got Tannehill as a starting quarterback, a number one that you just paid a bunch of money, your backup quarterback's going to be a young guy that, you know, in theory is going to be able to take over whenever Tannehill decides he's done. And it's kind of the same way. Now, if you get to a point, and we saw this last year with us, right, they weren't sure, was Marcus going to be able to make the season either from a quality of play standpoint or an injury standpoint? We're not sure. Okay, we better get a really good backup. If you're the Las Vegas Raiders right now, where are you with Carr? Where do you sit? Is he good enough? Well, I'm not sure. Well, you better get a good backup. Enter Marcus Mariota. So I think, you know, people kind of plan these things out, and you know, there's a method to their madness. Does it always work? Heck no, it doesn't. You know, are you going to see another Tannehill-type situation? No. You know, that's, you're not going to get a backup quarterback come in and play and lead you to the AFC Championship game. But, you know, it happened for us, and we got to be excited about that.
Yeah, Floyd, it feels a little bit like that was, you know, intentional yesterday. Tannehill sits out, and it's sort of like first day of pads. Let's see what Woodside's got, which, I mean, I it's got to be frustrating, and I know everybody's got to deal with it, but having no preseason games, that's a perfect opportunity, right? You say, hey, Woodside, this is your half. Go for it, and then you see what you've got there. How difficult do you think it is for these guys to try to recreate some of those situations that you just – usually just count on those preseason games for providing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the hard part, of course, is you're all for getting the young guys some playing time, and you're all for, hoping they improve and giving them opportunities and all that kind of stuff. But by the same token, you know, where are you with the real guys? Where are you with the starters? Are they hitting on all cylinders? Is that a finely tuned machine? And I'm going to guess, no, it is not. And because of that, you know, you're almost forced to sacrifice some of the experience and playtime for that young group just to make sure that your real guys are, you know, at a point in time where they can go out there against Denver on a Monday night and find a way to win a game.
Former Titans GM and host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, on the line with us. And Floyd, we were talking yesterday about this offense specifically and trying to determine what the expectations should be. Like, what's a fair bar? And I think both Joe and I really see no reason why this offense can't be a top five offense in the league. What do you think's a fair expectation for the Titans offense heading into this year?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what's fair. I would say this. I think the potential, the opportunity for them to be a really productive offense is there. I think if you look at each one of the positions on offense, with the exception of right tackle, you're going to see people that have done it. Not talking about, you know, I hope they can do this. I hope Humphreys can go out and catch 65 passes. He's already done that. I hope Corey Davis can go out and catch 60. He's already done that. You know, I hope A.J. Brown, he's done that. I want the leading rusher. You got that. I want a quarterback to lead the league. And yeah, you got that. So, you know, you look at each one of those and you say, okay, they're all there. Now, can we get them all, just what we talked about a second ago, can you get them all hitting, you know, at the same time, playing the same way and all those kind? And if you can, then you end up with one of those offenses that, you know, people are looking at and marvel at. If you can't, for whatever reason, you know, not performing, injuries, whatever, then, you know, you're going to fall short. But I think you have to look at this and you say, wow, you know, it's there. I think all the elements are there. Let's just get it working.
On the other side of the ball, Floyd, what is your just early thought right now, or maybe your early concern level on this defense? Obviously, some guys are missing. You know, Vic Beasley's still not out there, and there's going to be a ton of attention on him, whatever happens from here. But, I mean, to me, it's like you've got to scale back whatever expectations, probably some with him, and then other guys missing, wondering if they will have enough pass rush. I mean, what do you think about that side of the ball right now?
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm a little bit concerned. I think I'm concerned as much from how they're going to deal with the signal calling and things like that, simply because we don't know, and whoever's going to do it is going to try to, a certain extent, emulate Dean Pease. And, you know, how well are we going to do that? You know, if Chain is the guy, did he know Dean well enough to really know when Dean was going to pull the rabbit out of the hat? Same thing with Mike. And if you say, no, they don't, or no, they're not, well, then you're talking about, okay, then the defense is going to be a little bit different. How much different? And how well are we going to perform being different? So I think I get concerned a little bit with that. Of course, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about the depth at corner. The young guy is going to have to come out and find a way to play. Other than that, I think you probably have enough people in enough spots that you can, you get by. Is it going to be ideal? No, not at every spot, but it's going to be okay.
Floyd, Jonnu Smith took a big step last year, being the full-time guy at tight end. How much have you seen his game and his skill set grow over the course of the past year or so?
Yeah. I mean, when you think back, and I was one of those guys when Jonnu first got rolling that, you know, he comes in, he makes a play, then he turns around and screws up a play and loses whatever he made, then he makes a play, and I went back and forth, and I really struggled with the mental aspects, the mental mistakes, the holding penalties, the whatever it may have been with him. In the last year or so, he's kind of pulled – one of two things has happened. He's pulled himself out of that, or now he's making enough big plays that it overrides, you know, the mistake that he makes periodically. But he has turned into a plus. You know, he's turned into an element on offense that I think you look at and you say, okay, he's got a skill set. He's got some size. He can run. He works his butt off. The coaches and players love him. And we've seen him make that, you know, that catch where you look at it and you go, wow, did you see that? Now, you may never make it again, but we did see him make it that one time, and I think you have to get excited about that. So if he can go out there and just be consistent and just give us a certain level of play, is that 2, 3, 4 passes a week? I don't know what it is, but just something consistent. Then periodically when we need the special play, give that to us, he would be a giant plus.
Yeah, position's interesting too, Floyd, because, you know, obviously Delanie Walker moves on, and, you know, he obviously didn't have much of a role last year. He was banged up. But you've got Jonnu moving up to that one, and then Pruitt and Ferkser are guys who were kind of just picked up, you know, on the scrap heap, but they've been really, really good players. And it seems like they've got a solid group there, even though if you look at, you know, their profiles, I guess you could say, wow, that, you know, these guys are, it's not like you've got high draft picks in that room, just guys who have come here and flourished.
You know, for whatever reason, we seem to, particularly on offense, have a group of those guys. A group of those guys that just, you know, whether it's Caleb Raymond, whether it's Pruitt, whether it's Ferkser, you know, you say, who is this guy? And he went to Harvard. Nobody from Harvard can play. Did you see that catch? You know, kind of a thing. But you look at that group of guys, and they have been really, really good at situational football, really good at, okay, we got, you know, we're putting you in here. There's a chance you're going to be open. We're going to get you the ball. You got to catch. And they've been able to do those kinds of things. So, yeah, they're kind of exciting. Now, can they continue to do that? I don't know. That's pretty hard to do. But if they can, those guys are always a giant plus because they just come out of nowhere, and the next thing you know, you're ahead by 7 points.
Former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Floyd, thanks as always for joining us, and make sure you stay off Cameo.
Hey, $15.99, you can get it.
That's right. See you, Floyd. Thanks, man.
Bye, guys.
Yeah. Oh, $15.99. That was the exact reaction out of him I was hoping for.
What was the great quote out of there? He's just, what was it? Like, he's just so self-serving.
Yes, self-serving.
Loves himself so much. That's Floyd talking about Jared, by the way.
Yes. When we come back, we'll dive into the wide receiver group for the Titans. Who's going to have a big year other than A.J. Brown? We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.